Now today is the 25th of December. We call it Christmas Day. We remember on this day the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem so long ago. But, you know, we don't really know when Jesus was born. We don't know the day that he was born. We don't know whether it was the 25th of December. In fact, we don't even know whether it was December that he was born in. And there are some parts of the Christian church who celebrate the birth of Jesus on the 7th of January instead. But we don't know whether it was January in which he was born. We don't know the day, and we don't know the month. And you know, we don't even know the year. Not with absolute certainty. The best suggestion is that he was born somewhere between 3 and 5 BC. He was born before Christ. Well, you know, that may seem strange to you if you didn't know that before. If you thought 25th of December was Jesus' birthday and he was born in the year 1, then that might come as a surprise and you might think, well, what are we doing then today? Well, we're celebrating Jesus' birth, aren't we? We're celebrating it as a formal day to commemorate his birth. You know, our king, King Charles, has a formal birthday. We remember his birth on the first Monday of June every year. And King Charles wasn't born on the same day as his mother, Queen Elizabeth. And yet, we celebrated Queen Elizabeth's birthday on the first Monday in June every year. It was a formal birthday when we celebrated the birth of our Queen and now our King. And that's what Christmas Day is like. It's a formal commemoration of the birth of the Saviour of the world. And it doesn't really matter then what the exact date of Jesus' birth was. What matters is the reality of his birth. And what matters is the significance of his birth, what his birth means for this world. And that's what Paul focuses on in these verses I've just read to you in Galatians and chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. In these verses, Paul summarizes the truth about the Son of God, whom God sent forth from his presence and into this world of need. Now, there are a number of things that Paul says about God sending forth his Son. And I want you to think about four things with me this morning. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, so even you younger ones, if you really put your mind to it, you can look at me and you can listen hard to what I'm saying, okay? You try not to go to sleep and you try not to daydream about the gifts that are under the tree or perhaps no longer under the tree. The Son of God was born, firstly, in the fullness of time. And that might seem a little bit of a strange phrase, in the fullness of time. And really, all that it means is that at the right time, God sent his Son into the world. He has said earlier in verse 2, talking about the people of Israel, he is really in this passage, and he's talking about the fact that they were being taught by the law that God had given to Moses, and he likens them to a child, a young child that is under the supervision of a guardian. He is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. There's a day set when that child will no longer be considered a child, that child will be free from guardians, that child will be independent and govern his own affairs. At the right time, at the date that was set. And what Paul is saying is that Jesus came into this world at the date that was set by God. The coming of the Son of God was always the Father's plan. He had fixed the time of his birth. It didn't just come about. It didn't just happen that Jesus was born and where he was born and when he was born, but it happened at the right time. God had planned everything. And more than that, God had not only planned the date, the time, the place, but he had planned all of the circumstances. He had made sure that everything was in the right place at that time. He had made sure that there were wise men who studied the stars way away from Jerusalem and Bethlehem. But they had learned generation after generation about the stars so that at the right time they would see and they would understand something significant was happening in Israel. And they would come to find out. God had made sure that happened at the right time. God had made sure that all of the circumstances of the people were ripe for the coming of the Messiah, the chosen one. They were under the dominion of the Romans. And the Romans had built roads and they had brought peace to a large area of the world. And it was in that setting that Jesus was born and his church was formed and the gospel went out into all the world. He came at the right time because this was God's plan. God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time. God was in control of it all. And Paul says, not only when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, but that the Son of God was born of woman. Well, of course, every son is born of woman. There's nothing unusual about that, is there? There's nothing strange about saying that a son is born of woman. A son can't be born of man. A son must be born of woman. That is how God has designed this world. That is how babies come into this world. They're born of woman. Nothing unusual there. And that really is the point. In a sense, there is nothing unusual here. That Jesus was a little baby, like any other baby born in that region. You would have looked at him and you wouldn't have been able to tell that there was anything different about him. The shepherds went looking for him. How did they know which was the special baby that had been born? It wasn't because he had a halo around his head. It wasn't because that his skin glowed. It wasn't that he had an angelic face. It was that they would find him lying in a manger. That was unusual. That was strange. That a baby, a mother would put her baby to rest in the feeding trough of animals. And so there was a sign for them so that they could tell that this baby was the right baby. And the wise men who came so far looking for the baby that was born king of the Jews, they went to Herod, they went to the palace in Jerusalem. That's where a king baby would be born, surely. Herod is surprised. He's taken aback. He doesn't know anything about this baby who is born king of the Jews. So how do these wise men know of all the babies that would have been born around that time after they had travelled all that way? How will they know? Well, it wasn't that Jesus looked any different from any other of the other little toddlers at that time. It was because the star led them there. And it was that showed them that this baby was different. Because this baby was born of woman like any other baby. And yet, he is the Son of God. He is the one who was sent forth from heaven. John in his gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Isn't that amazing? That God should come into this world as a baby, an ordinary baby, just like all the other babies that had been born to Jewish women at that season. The Son of God was made flesh, conceived in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, but born of woman. A human being with flesh and blood like you and me. He was born into humanity, confined to that womb. The one who had brought all things into existence. He spoke, "Let there be light." And the light shone where once there had been darkness. He spoke, and the water separated and dry land came forth. He spoke, and vegetation grew on that land. He spoke, and animals were formed, all different kinds. And yet this one who spoke and brought all things into existence was contracted to the point where he grew as a baby in his mother's womb. And then was born in exactly the same way as every other baby is naturally born. And there he lay, the one who sustains all life upon this world, the one who orchestrates all the events of history to fulfill his purposes. He lay helpless, dependent upon that mother to feed him, to clean him, to clothe him, to teach him. And so he grew in dependence upon his mother and father. He was born of woman. But this is saying more to us than all of that. For he is the one who had been promised from the beginning to be born of woman. This is the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. This is the seed of the woman who would be a savior for sinners. The Son of God, born of woman. And then Paul tells us that the Son of God was born under the law. And again, that may seem a little bit of a strange thing, that the Son of God should be born under the law. But you think about this. He is the Son of God. He is perfect God. He is all righteousness and truth and justice and goodness and kindness and love. He is all that God is. And where does the law come from? Well, the law comes from God. The law is founded on the being of God. The law reflects who God is. The law has its birth, as it were, in God. And so the Son of God is, as it were, the one who brings forth the law. It comes from him. It emanates from him. Without God, there would be no law that is righteous and true and just. It is the essence of God displayed to mankind. And yet, now this God, from whom the law flows, places himself under the law, to be governed by the law. The law, which itself is governed by who he is, now he is governed, put under that law. That law which was given to show mankind the standard to which we should live. That law that reveals to us the fact that we have fallen short of the standard. That law that is given to restrain the sinfulness of our hearts. Jesus Christ came under that law. He became subject to that law. He himself had to obey that law's commands and demands. And he was born under the law so that he might be as we are. For we are subject to that law. And he would stand with us and identify with us. He had to become one of us in order to satisfy the demands of the law on our behalf. And we needed him to do that. We needed him to be born under the law, as well as born of woman, because we needed to be redeemed. And that's the fourth thing that Paul writes about here. He was born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. We are under the law and we are condemned by that law that we fail to obey. We do not love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, nor do we love our neighbour as ourselves. These are the two great commandments that headline the body of the Ten Commandments. That there is only one God and him only we should serve, that we should not make any idol, no graven image of anything in this world by which to worship him, that we should not take his name in vain, but should honour him, and that we should keep the Sabbath day holy unto him. We are to honour our parents, for this is right. We must not kill. We must not commit adultery. We must not steal. We must not bear false testimony against our neighbours. We must not covet our neighbours' things. These are the laws that God has given to us. They govern our lives, and yet how we fall short in so many areas when we dig into those commandments and we understand them as Jesus told us. That it is not just the simple act of murder that is forbidden, but the very hatred that is the seed of murder is forbidden by the sixth commandment. That it isn't simply that we are not to commit adultery, but even lust is forbidden by the seventh commandment. And so we see in the commandments that there is a depth to them, and we fall so far short of what they require of us because we fall so far short of God, of who God is, of what God is like in his perfect righteousness and holiness and goodness and truth and love. And the law is there to reveal him to us and to set before us the reality of our fallenness. We need to be redeemed. We need to be saved from the condemnation of the law. And Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came to redeem those who are under the law, those who are bound and chained in their sins and under condemnation. And so the writer of Hebrews says, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And so he came to redeem. He came to free, to release us from the condemnation that we deserve because of our sins. And so in the fullness of time, the Son of God was born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. But how is it that he redeems? How is it that they are freed from the condemnation? It is through his own death, as the writer of Hebrews says, dying in their place, bearing their sins. And it is through our recognition of our sinfulness and our need of him to be our Savior and our appeal to him as that man who entered the court of the temple on one occasion cried out to God, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. I need the redemption that Jesus has provided. I need the freedom that he offers. I need the salvation that he has accomplished." And in this salvation then, not only do we find that our sins are forgiven, but we find that we receive adoption as sons. That is accomplished through Jesus' coming into this world. God sent forth his Son into this world, so that whoever trusts in him, in his holy life and in his sacrificial death, may no longer be condemned by the law, but freed from it and adopted into the family of God as his children. The Son of God was sent forth from God into this world so that many more sons may be brought near to God by his saving work. And this is what we celebrate. We celebrate the birth of a baby. So, so long ago and so far away. Because it is life-changing. That baby was born to save sinners. And we are all sinners. And we're all in need of this salvation. So I appeal to you this morning, as you celebrate the birth of Jesus, to look into your heart and your life and to ask, do I need him? Do I need this Jesus? And will you trust him that in his life and in his death there is salvation for you if you will turn from your sins and trust? Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent forth your Son to be born of woman, to be born under the law, to redeem us. How we need this Redeemer. How we need this Saviour. We thank you for him and pray, dear Lord, that you would help us each one to trust in him, and trusting in him to live for his glory and praise. We ask in his name. Amen.